This morning I want to talk with you about something that you've probably heard about before, but sometimes we forget the obvious. You've never done that, have you? Forget the obvious? Or know you're supposed to do something, but never really do it? I want to talk to you today about something that should happen every day of your life. In fact, it should happen every hour of your life. In fact, it should probably happen numerous times every hour of your life. Every breathing moment of our life, something ought to be going on inside of you. But the problem is we forget. The problem is we get distracted. We are in a constant battle. I hope you realize that. We're in a constant battle. An enemy who wants to destroy us, a world that wants to distract us, a flesh that wants to lead us into just self-enjoyment and self-gratification. We're in a constant battle, a moment-by-moment battle, to be involved in what God wants us to be involved in, thinking what God wants us to be thinking, doing what God wants us to be doing. We're in a moment-by-moment battle, and we need to fight it well. I want to talk to you about being filled with the Spirit. Not just having the Spirit inside you, not just having the Spirit occasionally influencing you, but a life that's filled with the Spirit to overflowing, so that moment by moment, the Spirit of God is at work inside you, impacting your thinking, impacting your feeling, impacting your doing. We want to be people who are moment by moment guided, empowered, directed, instructed by the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes I tell you to look around at everybody else, but today, don't look around at everybody else. Instead, imagine this. Imagine everybody in the room looking at you. You know what they're thinking when they look at you? They're thinking two thoughts. When everybody in the room looks at you, they're thinking two thoughts. Or at least they will from this point forward. Kyle warned me that he'd have trouble staying awake. So Kyle, why don't you stand up? We'll practice on you. Everybody look at Kyle in the middle of the room. And when you look at Kyle, you think two thoughts. Sometimes you think, I am so glad Kyle is being led by the Holy Spirit. I am so thrilled that Kyle is serving kids this week, being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that Kyle walks around NDSU campus being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that Kyle's interacting with a group of other college men and leading a small group as he's being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad he's led by the Holy Spirit. And that's great when we think that way. Unfortunately, there are times when we have this other thought and we think, oh, I wish Kyle was led by the Holy Spirit instead of what he's doing right now. Isn't that true? We have two thoughts. We rejoice when he's led by the Holy Spirit, and we lament when he's not led by the Holy Spirit. Now, when Kyle insults somebody, that's probably not a time when he's being led by the Holy Spirit. When Kyle inadvertently, unthinkingly insults somebody and steps on someone's toes and does something that offends somebody, that's probably not when he's being led by the Holy Spirit. We think, oh, I wish he was led by the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Kyle. Now everyone looks at you, and you think, I rejoice that he's led by the Holy Spirit. Or I lament that she's not being led by the Holy Spirit right now. The reality of it is that you and I are constantly struggling. There's an internal battle going on where we're trying to exert ourself, or we're trying to submit to the Spirit. And when we exert ourselves and that fallen nature is running things, that's when our pride gets in the way, or that's when we get our feelings hurt, or that's when our emotions get all out of whack and we wallow in self-pity. When we are doing things out of our own carnal nature, that's when trouble happens, difficulties happen, dysfunction occurs. That's when conflict happens and people offend one another. Oh, they walk around being and harboring offenses. The thing we have to do is stop doing on our own, out of our fallen nature, all the different things that we're supposed to be doing out of the empowerment of the Spirit. If we were walking under the influence, control, empowerment of the Spirit, then what happens are the characteristics, the qualities of God. Then we're like God. Then we're expressing His love, communicating His truth, sharing his grace and being gracious with one another. You want a perfect church? You want a perfect community of believers? Then let a perfect spirit be guiding you perfectly. What causes conflict? The fallen nature. What causes us to be having relational difficulties? The fallen nature. So this morning I want to remind you of the obvious. You need the Spirit of God moment by moment working in you. Now here's an illustration, and it's a very imperfect illustration. And I want you to take it as far as it goes and then realize, oh, wait a minute, that's not good enough. How many of you have a GPS direction device that you can use in your vehicle? Some are built into the dash, some are on our smartphones, some even are standalone devices. And they're great when you travel. When you go to a new city and you plug in your destination and it tells you where to go. You can get turn-by-turn directions. I especially like it when it says, stay in the second to the right lane, and then once you exit, go in the farthest left lane. And it helps you with all those different twists and turns you might need to take. And that's in a way like what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to give you instruction and guidance and help you reach the destination you're called to reach. We open up our Bibles and we see where God is calling us to, where He's calling us to go, and what He's telling us to do, and we say, I want to go there. And so He'd say, Holy Spirit, guide me there. And the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to you and instruct you and tell you where to go. It's a good illustration. We can rejoice that the Holy Spirit gives guidance like that. In fact, one of my favorite examples is trying to fix the house plumbing before I went on a missions trip. And I'd gone to the places I knew to go to and couldn't find the right part for the faucet of the shower. And I'm driving back home in defeat, and I suddenly get this idea, turn here. So I turn there, and I go right down by Ohio State University campus, and I see a hardware store, and I stop, and I go in, and they have a back room full of old faucet pieces, perfect to fix my house. I didn't know about that place, but God gave me a turn-by-turn instruction. I rejoice when that happens, but here's the problem. God doesn't want you to stay stuck needing a constant turn-by-turn instruction. God wants you to grow beyond that, to know where you're supposed to go. He wants to so fill you with His Spirit so that your thinking is saturated with His truth and His qualities and His characteristics, so that your will is saying yes to Him all the time, so that your emotions start being filled up with His heart and His feelings about things, so that He doesn't even have to tell you where to go because you're sensing it from the inside. Your spirit is so filled with the Holy Spirit that there's a cooperation going on that you don't need an external voice saying, turn right now. You know where God is trying to get you to go. So there's this movement of growth within the Holy Spirit. And I think we all need to say, I want to grow even stronger in my ability to be led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. We don't want to stay infants in our understanding of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways that we grow in our understanding of and then our being led by the Spirit is by having a consistency in inviting Him to lead us. So in the sermon, or in the bulletin, is a sermon note page. It's not really, I guess, a sermon note page. It's more of just an insert for you to use from this day forward until it just becomes part of your daily routine. It's called the Submission Resistance Combat Procedure. And it has the steps of daily submitting to God, daily putting on the armor that God provides, daily resisting Satan, daily confessing sin that might have occurred, daily rejecting and rebuking the enemy, and daily inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us, refresh us, guide us. That ought to be something that happens at least every day, if not more often in your life. So I asked Robin to put two of those in each bulletin, for one for you and one for you to give away. We want to be people who are living that out. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, first, a little bit of groundwork, or next, a little bit of groundwork on who the Holy Spirit is. As we talk about these things and talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, we want to remind ourselves it's Scripture that we look to when it comes to understanding this whole aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 instructs us. It says, "Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. That's an instruction from God's Word. Ephesians 5:18, Paul's writing to the Christians there in Ephesus. He says, don't let yourself be led astray by something that influenced you and takes down your ability to choose correctly what to do in a situation. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. And what he's talking about there is a being controlled by, led by, directed by the Spirit of God, so that He is living inside you and giving you insight, giving you direction, giving you help, giving you empowerment. And the tense of the verb is an ongoing, continual sense. It's something that we start and continue the rest of our life. We receive the Spirit once. We're filled with the Holy Spirit continually. It ought to be an ongoing aspect of our walk with our triune God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, a command we obey. The second verse I want you to think about is from Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And this is the section where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He gives us the Lord's Prayer pattern and the promises and then the whole picture of that being answered. But then he ends that teaching on prayer by saying that the Father is going to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He uses the illustration of a son asking his father for food. And he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you when you ask? What's the key there on our side is we're called to ask. We ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us. We ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us. We invite Him. We request Him to come and fill us. Then the promise from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, before his ascension, is talking to his followers. He says to them this wonderful promise, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Promises from God about what God's going to do in sending His Spirit to fill us, control us, empower us to be ones who talk about Him, who witness about what He has done in our lives. And then from John chapter 7, starting at verse 37, the picture that Jesus gives us of this event. And He's standing up during the high feast there when they're talking about water overflowing in the temple, and He uses this powerful illustration. He says in John chapter 7, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. They'll bubble out of him. They'll get everyone around him wet as the Holy Spirit bubbles out of us like a flowing stream of water. And just in case we missed it, it goes on to say, by this he meant the Holy Spirit. So, God's Word tells us to be filled, to ask for that filling. We'll receive power when that happens after Jesus was ascended and sent His Spirit forth at Pentecost. And it's something that will be like a stream of water flowing through us. Seven reminders as we begin to do this on a regular basis. The Holy Spirit, number one, is a person, not a force, not an inanimate object, not some kind of mysterious, ethereal vibration in the universe. It's a person. And by person, we mean, secondly, a divine person. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. That means the Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal. Not Father God being higher, Son being in the middle, Holy Spirit being in the bottom. No, co-equal, triune, persons of the Godhead. Three, obviously the Holy Spirit is an invisible person. He can do things that we observe. He can do things that have effects that we are able to sense and see, but the Holy Spirit Himself is an invisible person. Fourth, the Holy Spirit is the indwelling, divine, invisible person. He indwells us. As you read through the Old Testament, you hear about the Holy Spirit coming on people for special events. You turn to the pages of the New Testament, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit indwelling us, A new relationship with God occurs as after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit indwells us to live inside us, never to desert us, always to be available for us to listen to and be empowered and led by. The Holy Spirit, number five, is a praying person. We don't know how to pray. We continually ask, Lord, teach me how to pray. We continually ask for God to help us pray. And we're promised that the Holy Spirit prays through us, in us, helping us pray. He is the praying Spirit, according to Ephesians 6:18. And he's the loving Spirit. It's the Spirit who pours out, or it's God who pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God into us. If you want to be loving, you want to be Holy Spirit empowered. If you want to be sharing the grace of God, you want the Spirit who brings the grace of God into us to be in you, leading you, empowering you. And then seven, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. He glorifies Christ in us. John 15:26, the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you, is what Jesus said. You can know all that and still not be empowered by, led by, filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. So the question then is, are we going to develop this as an ongoing pattern? Every morning are we going to wake up and say, Spirit, fill me. Every noon are we going to pause and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Every evening before we go into the evening events, are we going to say, Spirit, direct me. Spirit, fill me. Spirit, speak to me. It's a question that we must continually be asking ourselves so that we're continually letting the Holy Spirit do his work in us. When I was at Bible school, there was a few of us that were trying to discern the Holy Spirit. We recognized we grew up in churches that never talked about the Holy Spirit. We were eager to figure this out. We were reading Scripture. We're at Bible school. We're studying Scripture. And we're seeing over and over references about the Holy Spirit, but we're not being taught about the Holy Spirit. And so a few of us are really seeking after the Holy Spirit, visiting other churches to see what emphasis they brought in our understanding of the Holy Spirit. And in all honesty, there was a bit of a fascination with some of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And the giftings of the Holy Spirit are wonderful and necessary. We want to ask for them, seek for them. But we don't want to be preoccupied and let them be the focus. What we want is the Spirit himself. And so it wasn't until leaving Bible school and going to North Dakota State University and being involved in Campus Crusade for Christ or Crew Ministry that there became a more complete understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit. And I love Bill Bright's simple illustration of spiritual breathing. He teaches that to be filled with the Spirit, first you must be fillable, and to be fillable, you must be empty of the other stuff. To be filled with the Spirit, you got to empty out the stuff that's filling you now. Picture a lung that can expand and contract, but when it's full of bad air, it's not going to keep you alive. If the air inside your lungs is all been emptied of oxygen and all that's left behind is carbon dioxide and nitrogen and the pollutants floating around, you're going to die. You're not going to have energy to accomplish anything if your lung is full of bad air. So you got to exhale. Okay, Kyle, keep you awake. Exhale as loud as you can right now. And everybody join him in that. Just everybody exhale. Oh, now you're all wishing that person behind you had brushed their teeth a little longer this morning. We got to exhale. That's confessing. That's admitting that you're guided by, empowered by, directed by your own selfish thinking, your own carnal heart, your own hurt feelings, your own believing in worldly systems and values. You're exhaling. You're confessing. And confession is necessary, just as exhaling is necessary to breathe and to live. But if all you do is exhale, you're not going to live very long. Kyle, try that now. Just exhale only. You're going to be ineffective as a Christian. You have to inhale. So go ahead, Kyle. You can inhale now. I hope I wouldn't forget to give you that permission. You got to inhale. You have to breathe in fresh air filled with the oxygen that your body needs in order to live physically. But in order to live spiritually, you have to inhale the Holy Spirit, which is an analogy of saying you must invite the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh and anew, to live inside every part of your being. A person who has blood circulation diseases has trouble getting the oxygen to all of the cells of their body. Some of the extremities stop getting the proper flow of the blood. And so the lung might breathe, oxygen might come in, but it never gets carried all the way down to the extremities. And some of those people have to have toes cut off, feet cut off, legs cut off if the blood doesn't circulate well. Is there a part of you, honestly right now, is there a part of you that the Holy Spirit's not getting to? Is there a part of you that the Holy Spirit is not given permission to control and direct and use? Is there a part of you you're holding back? Lord, you can have all of me except that one area. This again goes back to one of my opening illustrations about how if we all look at each other, the thing we're going to think is, oh, I wish the Holy Spirit had control over that area of their life. Some people can see it. I was talking with some people recently, and I said, the reason God gave you a spouse is so your spouse could be honest with you about the areas you need a little help in. So if you have a spouse, elbow them right now. Say, I invite you to let the Holy Spirit speak through you to tell me how to shape up. Or in other words, let the Holy Spirit work. Some of you have been reserving areas of your life. You've been holding them back. We want to invite the Holy Spirit to fill every part of our being, to breathe so deep, and then have an empowered circulation system that carries that oxygen, carries the Holy Spirit to every cell of our body, and nothing held back. So what I'd like to do now is guide you in some steps of prayer. And there's going to be some pauses here, and so when we put this on the radio, we'll have to do a little editing to cut out these big pauses. But I invite you to do some praying right now, some deep praying, some serious praying. And now you can imagine you're the only person in the room. And you can just go to God all by yourself. Let's start. The first step is a prayer of submission. Pray a prayer similar to this. Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender my life to you. I invite you to take control of my life. I invite you to be my Savior and my Lord. Pray that prayer. I surrender my life to you. I invite you to control my life. I declare that you are my Savior and my Lord. And as you've prayed that prayer, be sure and end it with a prayer of gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I submit to you, and I know that you have taken me to be your very own. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Step number two, we want a prayer of confession, a prayer renouncing sin of any kind. Let's pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to reveal to me any area of my life that is contaminated by sin. And as you make these things known to me, I choose to obey you and I renounce those sins. I renounce the sin of pride. I renounce the sin of discouragement. I renounce the sin of covetousness. I renounce the sin of control, of demanding my own way. I renounce the sin of lust. I renounce the sin of not reading Scripture, not seeking after God. I renounce the sin of not yielding to the Holy Spirit. Whatever it might be that the Lord is prompting in your heart right now, pray that prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, I confess this sin. I agree with you that it's sin. And now I turn away from it. I reject that sin. And maybe right now the Lord is bringing to your mind a sin where you've sinned against somebody. You're going to need to go to that person and make it right. So pray a prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I will do what you're telling me to do about going and making that relationship right. I will humble myself. I will go and confess if I need to confess. I will go and make restitution if I need to make restitution. It's a sin of confession, then repentance, and then a willingness to make restitution. And Lord, to the best of my ability, I will obey you. As you're praying that prayer of confession, imagine what it's looking like as you're completely emptying out of your lungs anything that's contaminating. You're exhaling bad air. Amen. The third step is not actually a prayer. It's a statement to your enemy. It's a rebuke of the enemy. Scripture tells us, resist the devil. And so we obey Scripture and we resist him. So I encourage you to do something like this. And I encourage you to do this with your eyes open, to distinguish to yourself that you're not praying right now. You're certainly not giving any sense of honor to the enemy. You're rejecting him. He's like that dog that's coming to your yard, and you want to get that dog out. So just say something like this. And by the way, Satan can't read your thoughts. So if you're going to do this, you need to do it out loud. You can do it softly, but you need to do it out loud. Satan cannot read your thoughts, so you can't say this inside your brain and think it's going to be heard by him. But I invite you out loud to say something like this. Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you and any of your spirits to leave me right now. I break off any satanic bondage over me. And I command every evil stronghold in my life to be broken and any messenger of the enemy to go to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I declare my allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. I'm going to read that again. I encourage you to say that out loud with me. Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command all evil spirits to be gone from me. I break off any satanic bondage over me. And I command all evil strongholds to be broken off of me. I declare that my allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Hallelujah. Jesus is our deliverer. Now, here's where we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. Here's where we invite him to move inside every aspect of our life. Let's pray a prayer like this. And you can pray this prayer inside your thoughts. Jesus Christ knows your thoughts. Heavenly Father, right now, I receive by faith the infilling of your Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to saturate every area of my life. Saturate every cell of my body with your Holy Spirit. Take control of my body. Take control of my mind. Take control of my will. Take control of my emotions. Take back all ground I had given over to Satan or his demons. Fill me afresh. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit so that I can live a holy life, that I can serve you, that I might be filled with all the blessings of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And then once you've done that, rejoice. Celebrate. Praise God that he's done it. Pray with me. Thank you, God Almighty. Thank you for keeping your promise. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. You are my God. Now every day I ask you to fill me afresh, and I will live for you. I will listen to you. I will be empowered by you. I will follow you for your glory, for the expansion of your kingdom, for the establishment of your will on earth. Amen.